Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
William Carey University Athletics.
Every sport you find exciting.
Crusader Talk.
Crusader Talk.
This is Crusader Talk.
Crusader Talk.
We're covering everything William Carey University Athletics. From the field to the court and the diamond. On Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com.
Welcome, everyone, to another edition of Crusader Talk here on this Monday. Hope you're well. Hope you're dry. It's pretty wet out there today. Either you're tuning in from the comfort of your home on supertalkhattiesburg.com or you're listening to us on demand in podcast form. Any way you choose to join us, we're happy that you've done so. This is Crusader Talk, where we talk all things William Carey Athletics. I'm Caleb Hamill, along with Josh West and Will Tony here in our Super Talk Hattiesburg studio. Josh, been a nice week for you've been a nice week for me coming back here to the studio. It's always good to kind of start off the week talking William Carey Athletics.
Yeah, always good. Always good. Special guest in the studio tonight to talk William Carey Athletics. But we were talking other sports other than his sport prior to airtime, prior to the queue. So, I mean, there's a lot to talk about.
Yeah, we could talk anything from the Olympics to golf, but we're going to focus mainly on soccer, at least for the first half of this show. Coach Barry Farrell joins us here in studio, head coach of the men's soccer team for William Carey. And Coach, first of all, thanks for coming in studio.
Thanks for having us here live in the studio, first time.
Yeah, how do you like the facility so far? You actually get to meet Will Tony in person for the first time.
I know, the man himself.
It's a disappointment.
Disappointment, he said. No, it was funny. I walked through the doors and first thing, even maybe before hello from Coach Farrell was, is that Will Tony?
That's Will Tony.
I've never seen him, you know.
Yeah, he saw him behind the board. He's like, that's the guy I've talked to on the phone before I've gone on the air before. All right, so let's kind of recap a little bit of, you know, what it was like last year. I don't know that we've had a chance to speak since the end of last season.
But isn't it great that, like with Coach Farrell, he's a man that needs no introduction.
That is true.
He does not have to introduce himself because our Southern redneck slang is just so played out. Everybody has basically sounds the same. Coach Farrell has that distinct, when you hear those tones, know that's Coach Farrell. And so we love it. We want to hear you talk about anything you could talk about. Like you said, Olympics, golf, recipes, travel. We don't care. We just want to hear you talk.
If we still have a phone book anywhere, we'll give it to him to read out loud.
Well, I think Caleb, Josh wants to talk about golf today.
big time. Yeah, I could talk Open Championship. Yeah, they've got a golf trip coming up. Yeah, that's what I want to talk about.
Even me, the non-golfer, is a little bit jealous of this trip that him and some friends have coming up.
Yeah, we just want to stow away in the luggage.
That's right. We'll start with something, you know, a little bit closer to the topic area, and I feel like we will end up diving off the deep end at some point or another.
Sure.
Circle back to last season to try to issue us into where we are today. Your team had a bit of a slow start for those first two ball games of the year, and then you come out, you finish on the season 16-5-1. Tough draw, even though you were a homestanding host in the opening round, but you end up hosting Milligan University, a team that ends up going all the way to the, not just the final site, but I believe the final match.
Final match.
Kind of an underrated team. I know in your mind, you knew they were, yeah, who they were, but still a tough one to get on your home turf for William Carey.
Yeah, they'd been on a winning streak. I remember me and Josh were talking about it. They'd won 21 games straight. Like you said, went all the way to the final of the national championship game. We're 1-0 up with 9 minutes in the game. Ended up losing 2-1 to Mid-American Nazarene, who we faced the year before. So they were always an underrated team. And like you said, maybe an unlucky draw for us, but we were missing some pieces last year, I felt. And
yeah, you feel, a lot of people will remember this, that right before the season started, we find out about all these couple players here or there that end up leaving the program to go to Division I schools or, you know, the NCAA ranks at large, and left behind a lot of holes for your program. Kind of removed a lot of the depth that you had going into that season, and that kind of became on full display once guys started getting injured.
Exactly, Caleb. First couple of games of the season, you could see we were struggling to score goals. You know, we lost Brandon Birmingham to Rhode Island the year before. He was top goal scorer in the conference. He scored 25 goals, you know. So that was a couple of games we struggled earlier on, and it took us 2-3 games, and then we went on a 13 game unbeaten streak, and we started scoring goals. But it was always a couple of injuries to Jack Greenwood, Jamie Wynn, a couple of suspensions as well really kicked in, and we were down to like bare bones at times.
Well, and for you, we talked about there were times where you could just kind of sense through warm-up, through practice, you kind of felt that it was maybe this team was kind of just barely hanging on, so to speak, and then it kind of caught up with the team late.
I talked to you, I believe it was before a game, and I think we'd won 11 games, and you were excited about the team, and I remember saying to you, Josh, it's going to catch up with us, you know, because we just didn't have the legs coming off the bench that we've, you know, had in previous seasons, and it really affected us down the line. We had two games to win the league, you know, with Dalton State Mobile, and we just fell short a little bit, but it was more not having the substitutions when we needed to bring on to win those games.
Mentally, is that hard? Is it kind of a mental burden when you know it's going to catch up with you? Would you rather just be ignorant to it, or you also just know what it takes to win? And sometimes I guess it kind of steals some of the joy out of the moment. Like us fans, we can just be ignorant and not know any better. But yeah, you knew. I mean, you knew because you know the depth that it takes to win these championships. Yeah.
And we had won, you know, conference tournaments before, so I knew what, like you said, I knew what it would take. And practice was also tough because you couldn't go what you needed to go in practice to get the guys ready. It was more recovery, because I think we had 12 players play pretty much 95% of those games. So it was tough for the next game to prepare, because it was just making sure no one else got injured.
Yeah, and I think what also hurt was just how stacked the final few games of the regular season were. We've alluded to it already, but to play Dalton State and Mobile in back-to-back matches is tough enough on a team. But Dalton State, a very aggressive team, kind of brings out some of the cattiness amongst both teams and sometimes earns some suspensions. Teams that don't typically get suspensions will all of a sudden get amped up and get served red cards in matches against them. This season, though, a little bit different of a setup. Dalton and Mobile a little bit more spread out on the schedule.
Correct, yeah. No, I mean, down the last couple of seasons, it's been Dalton, Mobile. You get to the semifinal of conference, and you're going to face a Mobile Dalton again. So, you know, I remember a couple of years ago, we had Georgia Gwinnett stuck in there. So it was five games, all top 20 teams. Mm-hmm. But they're the games you want to be playing in. Because they will prepare you for a national championship. Our problem was just the squad depth. You know, when we played Milligan, they were able to bring on so-and-so, so-and-so, and they were able to go about 18, 19, 20 deep, where we were like 12.
When scheduling, you mentioned tough schedule, Dalton State Mobile a little bit easier this year. We were talking schedules. We're looking volleyball, soccer, men's and women's. We're looking basketball. We're already looking like kind of trying to kind of dream into the spring about where some conflicts could be. And, you know, looking at the schedule this year, happy with the schedule? Is it getting tougher and tougher and tougher to schedule with the reputation of this program and non-conference in particular being difficult?
It has. You know, they changed the rule. I used to schedule a lot of NCAA Division II teams, the West Alabamas, the AUMs, the West Floridas, some top two teams in Division II, where some NAI teams were able to use those as regular season games, where Division II teams were able to use them as more of an exhibition scrimmage, but it still counted towards NAI. Well, they kind of got rid of that on the NAI side, and now it's, hey, those games are gone. So, you know, with travel and the expense that costs, it is tough to get. I think we have 17 games on a regular season total, where we used to have 23, 24, and I used to be able to pick and choose some games. So it was able to come down a bit.
If you have a couple of those exhibitions, though, that are on your schedule, do the pollsters know? Do the people that matter know? Even though they're not supposed to use that, is it still in their mind? I mean, when they still look at it on paper, they're supposed to technically, and I'm holding up air quotes, technically throw it out, but does it still not carry some weight if you pick up some wins there?
If you win, it's great. If you lose, it's not so good.
Okay.
That's really it. You know, if you beat an AUM or a West Florida, hey, it's great. They beat a Division II team. But if you lose, they look down on that.
Yeah. Okay.
So a lot of non-conference games, obviously, at the front end of the schedule. A lot of teams out of Louisiana. You've got LSU Shreveport, LSU Alexandria, Xavier, Louisiana Christian. Those are the first four games, not in that particular order. But then a couple other teams before conference play starts. We're going to look up, and conference play is going to already be here.
And Xavier being better helps, correct?
They're very good, yeah. Those games, if you look at those Louisiana teams, they're all from the Red River. You know, all close by. They've improved every single year.
Well, and Xavier, was last year their first year as a program?
Yeah.
I mean, they brought in so many transfers last year, so it's almost like they picked up a team in progress. So easy to see how this new era of college athletics and transfers and all of that have really helped programs get kickstarted pretty quickly. All right, we're talking to head soccer coach Barry Farrell on the program. When we come back, we're going to continue the conversation, looking ahead to next year, talking about some of the key pieces that are back for the Crusaders. You won't want to miss that as Crusader Talk continues next.
Talking everything William Carey University Athletics. This is Crusader Talk on Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com.
All right, we're back live in studio. Caleb Hamill, Josh West, Will Tony, and Coach Barry Farrell of men's soccer at William Carey. And we are having ourselves a time. It's always good to have guests in studio. We talk about it all the time. It's good to get a guest on, regardless whether it's phone or in person. But man, to get to sit around and just have kind of that campfire type conversation is always enjoyable.
If we can just, I think Will brought it up. You did, Will. You brought it up in the break. But I mean, even expound on what Will said, just to hang out and talk to Coach Farrell. So if we ever just need a state of the Crusaders, if Coach English isn't around, we just bring on Coach Farrell. He's keeping up with all the other coaches.
That's true.
He can bring the energy. He just loves to talk sports. So you just bring in Coach Farrell. We talk a little bit of men's soccer, and then we kind of jump around all the other sports. And
That's it.
Did you run into somebody in the cafeteria? Did you swing by practice on the golf cart? Did somebody pop into your office? Kind of gives us the overview. What do you think, Coach?
100%.
We'll bring him on to guest host sometime. Yeah, if you need to do some extra business out of state somewhere, Josh, or maybe I have some responsibility somewhere else, Coach Farrell can just take it away. Who needs to pre-record an episode? We'll just bring him in studio.
All right, I'm talking myself right out of a job.
Nah, you're good. Your job is safe here, and you need the extra income with that little one on the way.
Little one on the way, Coach. October, right in the middle of soccer, volleyball, and football, right before basketball.
We tried to convince Stacey to hold off.
Could not have timed it any better.
I was telling you earlier today, if we could just hold it off until November somehow.
Oh, if you could have just seen the look. I had you on speakerphone. You noticed there was silence. Radio
silence was deafening there.
Yeah, silence was deafening. You could have only have seen the smirk. She thought it was cute.
Oh, yeah, good, because my wife would not have thought it was nearly as humorous. All right, so let's talk about this year's team. First of all, a couple guys that are returning, a good handful of guys, honestly, are returning, a couple key pieces for the Crusaders, but a lot of newcomers as well, and some that you got to bring in this spring. Let's kind of talk a little bit of stats of how many we've had come in, and then also some of the guys, especially senior talent, returning.
So the key returners are Kevin McConnell. You know, he's coming into his fifth year. Like we mentioned earlier on, that's a COVID year, so this is his last year. He was player of the year in the conference, top goal scorer, offensive player of the year in the conference. And he was second team All-American. So, you know, like I said, he's had a great summer playing out in Little Rock, Arkansas. Watched him play last night, scored a penalty. So he's coming in probably the fittest I've seen Kevin in the 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, expound on that, because we were talking about that during the break. Kevin was the guy that was the everyman. I mean, he just looked like a guy that was out there playing soccer and doing it better than everybody else. Now he's starting to look the part.
Yeah. That was kind of always the weakness of Kevin, just, you know, on the off season, probably not I want to say, taking care of himself as much as you need to in this day and age. But he looks amazing, you know, and he's one of the guys where I know you guys have interviewed him after the games.
It's great.
It's brilliant to talk to him. You know, he'll be a captain for us this upcoming season. He's a funny guy as well, you know. Played golf with him in the spring when his parents came over. So just amazing guy. And I think he can have the season. He can be a first-team All-American this year for sure.
Ooh.
You know, just going off last year. Jamie Wynn is back as well. Jamie was out there playing for Arkansas. I know they played against Hattiesburg a couple of times. Jamie was a second team All-American, brilliant player as well for us. So he'll be a big piece coming back for our program, because a lot of teams are looking at Jamie in the spring, you know, on the NCAA teams. You got Andres Kokoska, goalkeeper, back for his final year as well. Top goalkeeper. He was out in Buffalo playing USL too. Top player as well. They're kind of the main returners, with Giovanni Soros as well. Big time player for us.
And you're telling me one of the big advantages that Kerry's had in this offseason of bringing guys in is that you've gotten a handful in to the campus during spring, which is so key. One, walk us through a little bit about how many players you've brought in, how many of those have come in the spring, but also what kind of advantage does that give you going into the season?
I actually had to write them down. There was so many, Caleb. So we have 13 new players coming in that you wouldn't have seen. So, and five of them we were able to bring in the spring in February, which is just a massive advantage, where just off the field they can get all that paperwork, start classes. You know, the weather is always an important part when you have internationals coming in to climatize with that. And then you can see them in the summertime, they play. So just, and then we had a couple of more in the summertime play for Hattiesburg here. Kobe Godbolt came in. So 13 new players, but looking at it overall, there's only two real players that are freshmen that I really haven't seen in the spring or the summer. And that's going to be huge for us, just getting the team together for the fall.
All right, tell me a little bit about this new freshman midfielder that you have coming in. At 5'5", he's going to wear the number 7 jersey, Joshua Salas from Ecuador.
Yeah, he's special. I mean, I'm not going to lie, he's a special player. I want to say about 4 or 5 NAI programs were after him, had actually gone over to Ecuador to recruit him, wanted him for the fall. I get a call. I was actually recruiting in Ireland at the time in December, and said, hey, I've got this special player for you. He wants to come now. And, you know, with us on the trimester schedule, we were able to get him in February. So he came in February, and I mean, yeah, amazing player. You could see straight away. And he played in the summertime USL2 and was special. You know, really, really special.
What separates at this particular, at this level, from the really good to the special? What makes his skill set so unique that makes him so difficult to defend and handle?
So you can see by his height, small player, he's got unbelievable balance, which I always look on. You look into a player like a Keevan McConnell balance, where he can turn on a dime kind of player. But he can score goals, he's fit, he can press, he's got assists. The biggest thing where I seen him in the spring was that, you know, we went into our English language center, so his English wasn't great, but, you know, I didn't have to explain. I just look at him, he nods the head, he does exactly within the tactical part of it. You know, he's pressing exactly what I wanted him from my point of view. And that's a special player, because he knows the game. He's played at a high level.
Everybody just has to know, Salas Aki. once we get that, everything else is just candy. All right, I got a couple minutes left in this segment. Josh, you and I were talking coming into this week about getting to talk men's soccer, and you said that in your conversations with Coach Farrell that he sounded pretty excited. Now I'm starting to see all the pieces that are coming together to make this a possible exciting year. And Coach, I want to get it from your mouth. Do you feel like this is one of the best opportunities Kerry has had in a national championship run in the last few years?
Well, we need to get back there. You know, we need to get back to the final site. You know, everybody's goal is obviously to win it. we've made the national tournament every year, but to actually get into that final site of eight teams, that's where you need to be. There are, it's so, like you said, it's so close. We were missing pieces, and I think we've added those pieces in terms of squad depth and height and athleticism, that kind of stuff. So I'm excited to get going with this squad.
What would it mean to go ahead and start getting back there now with the potential for William Carey to be a host institution with the push that the city of Hattiesburg, Tatum Park, you know, everybody involved with the new facilities there are making a push? You know, the long-term plan is to build a stadium and to be a national tournament-type venue, much like a Foley, Alabama. What would that mean with the potential That's to have amazing. A national tournament in Hattiesburg?
Yeah, I mean, amazing. You know, just with the USL 2 team starting in year one, you're having a lot of players now from all over America want to come to Hattiesburg, you know, and obviously play in Hattiesburg, but those guys really enjoy themselves in Hattiesburg, did well for a year one program. And, you know, they might start looking at William Carey then. Hey, I want to transfer to William Carey because I like the city of Hattiesburg.
All right, so we've got about a minute left or so in the segment, so I finally delayed it long enough to where we can talk a little bit about your upcoming trip to Ireland with a couple friends. Tell us a little bit about what's on the agenda and how much fun we're going to be missing out on.
Summer of 2025, DJ Pulley, Tracy English, myself, and head golf coach Jeff Mixon, Ireland golf trip next summer.
Oh, I'm so jealous.
And he said it's the same time as the British Open as well, which is just going to be a little bit up the road.
Where's the British Open, Josh?
Royal Portrush.
2 hours from my house.
Jeez.
So I know DJ wants that, you know. But
and Tiger's already committed. Tiger committed in the post game.
So I said, guys, we can go there. I need you to do one thing. Get your passports updated, and then we'll start organizing.
Well, if DJ doesn't get his passport done in time, Josh, is yours up to date?
I will get it up to date. I need to go ahead and get that.
That's right. The chase
right now.
Is on.
There you go.
Coach, thanks so much for joining us here.
Brilliant. Great to be here, boys.
And we look forward to seeing you a lot coming up in different post-game interviews and possible mid-season check-ins. Should be a lot of fun for us.
And are you game for allowing us opportunities, if time presents, to have more soccer players on? They're Kevin, those guys are tremendous. Jack Greenwood and all, wonderful on the microphone. They need to be in studio as well.
Yeah, get them in studio. I need to supervise them while they're here, Bob.
Come on.
That's it. We don't have the six-second delay button, so we need a little supervision in here. Coach Barry Filler, head men's soccer coach at William Carey, joining us here on Crusader Talk. When we come back, I talk with a new assistant softball coach. Heather Moak Brister joins us on Crusader Talk. Thanks again, Coach.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
From the coaches to the student athletes and the fans that cheer them on, you're listening to Crusader Talk on Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com.
Back here on Crusader Talk. Good conversation earlier with Coach Farrell. So we recap last year and get ready for the upcoming soccer season. First game scheduled for August the 15th. You'll have to travel down to Shreveport if you want to see the Crusaders in action, but they will be back in Hattiesburg, ready to go against Xavier on Sunday, August the 18th. That game time set for a 7 o'clock start. Women's team will actually have a game before that as well. So be ready for a little Sunday afternoon soccer.
You know who's as excited as Coach Farrell is? Clayton Rush.
Oh, yes.
Oh, he's ready.
Clayton was born ready.
I asked for the ladies' schedule. I had the men's schedule. I asked for the ladies' schedule. Men's online. He had already typed it out. He had already put it in Excel, men's and women's times. He'd already gridded it out and color-coded it. Yeah, he's ready.
Oh, yeah, he's ready. You know who else is ready? Somebody who's still got a little bit of ways to go before the season begins, but we are happy to welcome on Hannah Moak Brister, somebody who is very familiar to William Carey University and somebody that a lot of the folks out there probably already know from her pitching days as a Crusader. Countless records inside the circle for William Carey. It's up to Kevin Rosary to update the record books to see if Haley Nations or her or Ryan Hornsby actually hold these records now. But Hannah, you at least said a lot while you were here.
Yeah, I had some great coaches and players behind me that taught me a lot and saved a lot of hits up the middle. That big field helps the pitcher out a lot.
Absolutely. Hannah, thanks for joining us here. And number one, congratulations on becoming now a staff member of the coaches at William Carey in softball. I know it was a great playing career for you. You've spent some time back down in South Central Mississippi before coming back here with this new position. Tell us a little bit about what you've been up to since your playing days.
Yeah, absolutely. First, I just want to thank y'all for having me on and thank Dr. Burnett and Coach Fletcher and administration for welcoming me back into the Carey family. It's really been a joy just getting back and, you know, reconnecting with everybody. Everybody's been so welcoming. When I left Carey, I went straight over to Southwest Community College, and I had the opportunity to learn from Shay Johnson. He was my head coach there, and he's still there now. Still really good friends. He taught me so much about coaching on that level and just communicating with athletes and other players and, you know, connecting the dots between high school and moving those JUCO players on to other universities. So I got to build a lot of connections there and work with a lot of great athletes and coaches. I'm now married to Grant Brister, and we have two beautiful little girls, Evelyn and Hattie Beth. We've been invested in First Baptist Summit, but I don't know if that'll change with us going to be in Hattiesburg a little bit more. But I've had a lot of good opportunities, and a lot of great people step into my life and help me learn a lot more about the game of softball.
And for folks that are around that Pike County and Lincoln County area, you know how common the last names Moak, Brister, Case, and all those. It's not surprising that y'all two ended up together. All right.
Absolutely.
So let's kind of walk through. We do this with a lot of our guests for the first time they're on the show that are previous Carey athletes. We always talk about what kind of brought you to the university. So you go from being a pitcher for Parkland Academy. What brought you into the fold as a William Carey Crusader?
Well, since I was a little girl, I always looked at Carey as kind of like my dream school. My mom played college basketball there, and so I wanted to achieve to the level that my mom had. Now, I wasn't the basketball player that she was. I put all of my efforts into softball, but Coach Wendy Hogue absolutely had a huge part in making me fall in love with William Carey. We had a wonderful relationship when I was recruited by her, and then it so happened that, you know, I went to camps and got recruited and got that opportunity to go there. And after I got there, it's actually the first week I got there, she ended up leaving and going to Southern and pursue a career there. And, you know, we still have a good relationship, but I got the opportunity to play for Coach Fletcher. And, you know, the rest is history. I loved playing for that man, and I'm super excited to work with him.
Yeah. This is Josh, Hannah. So happy to have you on and have you back at Carey. And yeah, I'm looking at some of your numbers from your career: 77 career wins, 560 career strikeouts, ERA at 1.43. Opponents for your career batted under 200. When you hear those numbers years later, and then you think back of all your time, what are you most proud of as a player that you can pass on to this next generation? Because, you know, in a day of Google, they Google you. It's not just automatic respect given a coach. They want to go, look, I hear what you're saying, coach, but were you a baller or not? Those numbers right. speak for themselves, so that carries a lot of weight. What are you most proud of? And what do players that play for you bring up the most when they look at some of the things you accomplished?
You know, I definitely think stats and your records are important. You know, that gives you respect with the athletes that you're coaching, but you know, what I'm most proud of is really just the Christian environment at William Carey and what that instilled in me and what I want to instill in the athletes at Carey. And, you know, it's already a culture there of, you know, Christianity and those ethics. But all in all, you know, for me, for the teams that I played for at William Carey and for the teams that I will be coaching at William Carey, you know, softball is not our purpose. That's just a platform that we get to use our gifts and talents to honor and glorify God. And, you know, once you can get girls to understand that, hey, this isn't life or death, this is a platform that we get to use these gifts on, they buy in and go all out for you. And so I'm super excited to just continue that tradition and allow girls to, you know, feel their their hearts with that passion that they have and continue to pursue the things that Kerry softball's been working towards since before I was there.
You go from a public junior college institution, and the junior college system in Mississippi is second to none, and now you're coming back, as you just mentioned, to a private Christian school. I know for me it was instantaneous when I arrived to Kerry that it was different, that it was special, that Kerry was a very unique place. And to hear you talk about what the faith element of Kerry being the centerpiece, the most important piece of it all, I think that matters now more than ever, don't you?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I know you hear it everywhere, but, you know, there's going to be – we've got to be the light in the darkness, and that's just what this world is. You know, when you step on Kerry's campus, there's welcoming people everywhere you go. Some of these people have never seen me, never talked to me, and they just welcome me in with open arms. And Kerry's a special place to be. It really is.
You know, Kerry has an effect on many people. Of once you get onto campus and meet the people, they really become new family. And oftentimes when it comes to family, you find yourselves coming back to visit. And in fact, Hannah, the first time you and I met, and I'm not sure that you remember this, but it was just a couple of years ago whenever Kerry was hosting an NAIA opening round. Not this most recent year, but a couple seasons back. And you couldn't help but stay around, and you were actually, I believe, the tournament director whenever everything was going on over there. How'd you get roped into that responsibility?
Well, I guess Coach Fletcher must couldn't have found anybody else, because I definitely didn't deserve coming to do that, but we had a blast, you know, getting to be involved with all that and working with the girls and umpires and making sure everything was flowing. They had it set up perfectly, and hey, when that opening round comes, it's fun just to be there and be a part of watching those athletes.
Yeah, it was the year that had the scary cone magic, Josh. You've heard Ben Milam and I talking about that with Weber International coming through. That's what kind of sparked the NAIA softball podcast, was that team and that run they made. So, unfortunately, the Crusaders had to be trounced for that to become a reality, but still good to be a little part of history right there. We're talking to Hannah Moak Brister on the phone right now. She is a new assistant softball coach at William Carey University. All right, so you come from a pitching background, and since you left, we earlier mentioned Haley Nations and now Ryan Hornsby in the circle for the Crusaders as some of the top talents. What do you see already from a distance that you've seen from Ryan Hornsby that you're going to look to develop moving forward as her playing days continue, as well as newcomers that will come in? What are your key points that you like to hone in on to develop talent?
Well, you know, Ryan, I've watched Ryan since she was a young girl. I mean, I was recruiting her at when I was at Southwest, and she is just a humble, gritty, hardworking kid. She comes and works for hours. Coach Megan has done an amazing job with her, and she does an incredible job with all of our pitchers. She was at a camp not long ago, and we were working on a few things with her screwball, just discussing it over, you know, that we might could get a little bit more spin in, and she's all about anything that she can do to get better for the team. I think it's going to be really good with me and Coach Megan working together. I also think that with Megan doing such a great job with the pitchers, this is going to allow us to kind of get into more of the minutia in every aspect of the game. So I'll be able to work, you know, not just with pitchers, but, you know, Megan can work with pitchers while Coach Fletcher is working with outfielders, while I'm working with corners. And, you know, the more detail-oriented we can get those practices and the more we can prepare those girls, the more they're going to be comfortable in the difficult situations as we get towards the end of the season and that playoff. You know, the playoff time and the time where it's really time to stand up and do what we prepared for. Me and Coach Fletcher and Megan have also been discussing some accountability things and individual and positional goals that we can put in place just to make sure, you know, there was a big saying that we had when I was at Kerry, and I believe, you know, that's still ingrained in the culture. And it was that it comes from Philippians 3:16, and it says, only let us live up to what we've already attained. And so, you know, Kerry softball has a tradition of success, and we aren't satisfied with that. We don't want to just get to that opening round. So we've got to get down to the details and get very goal-oriented in the specifics of it so that we can take that next step and start competing for a national championship.
Hannah, about 30 seconds left, if that. Pitching, defense, inside the circle going to be so key. There's so much returning there that it's going to allow this young lineup in terms of experience to develop. Obviously, that's where it's going to start this year. You feel really good about that being the lead of this team and giving the youngsters a chance to develop?
Absolutely. I think we're going to have a combination of young talent coming in with some leadership from the years prior, and we're going to work together to try to reach the goals that we set out to. It's going to be an awesome year.
Awesome, awesome. Well, Hannah, thanks so much for joining us here. Good to talk to you. Glad to welcome you back into the Cary fold and welcome you onto this coaching staff.
All right, thank you so much. We'll see you at the softball field.
Sounds good. Going to be here before we know it when February rolls around. In fact, some teams even start to believe in late January. So it could be interesting. We'll see when all the schedule comes out. We'll get the countdowns going for all that. Hannah Moak-Brister, new assistant softball coach at William Cary University. Final segment coming up next here on Crusader Talk.
You're listening to Crusader Talk on Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com.
Final segment with you here on Crusader Talk. Been a good day. We had a great episode last week. If you missed that one, Coach Steve Knight and his wife Regina were on.
That was really good.
That was a really good segment. We've got to get the couples back in here. I have been trying tooth and nail to get Coach Hallford and Miss Kathy on, and y'all hound her. She's afraid. She thinks that it will not work. I'm calling her out. I think it will be fantastic to hear their story and other coaches as well. Coach, you can come back as well. Coach Owens, his wife, I'm sure they would be fun as well. Coach English and Dee Dee would be good. But all that said, we could have a whole lot of fun doing some of those, some little extra shoulder programming here and there once we get ready for the season start.
Well, if to have the success that broadcasters have, coaches have, et cetera, it takes a very special, spouse there. And so if the marriage has lasted, if it's lasted 35, 45, 50 years, whatever, there's going to be great stories. And it's going to be very intriguing to hear how they made it work. Because I think in coaching, you see it work a lot more. Broadcasting, there's a lot of really good broadcasters that their marriages didn't make it. And so very special people that are backing these coaches.
That's right, indeed. I say coach as if he's still in studio. He is. He's still over here just with a set of headphones on and just enjoying the programming live and in studio. We appreciate all our guests that get to come and tour the place, a great facility that we get to have to record this in. All right, some news that happened at the start of this month that we didn't really get a chance to talk about was that July 1st officially brought in a new team into the SSAC. And I mean, we didn't talk about this earlier in preparation, but out goes Stillman. We knew that coming into this new year that Stillman would be rotating out of the Southern States and would be picked up by the new HBCU conference, formerly the GCAC that Cary was a part of in the years gone by.
But Middle Georgia State stays in for one more year.
One more year.
I thought they were gone.
I did too, and I had my years, I guess, mixed up, or maybe they had just a little bit more paperwork and whatnot to take care of. But they will be moving to NCAA Division II after this year. So we have one more year to deal with the Middle Georgia State Knights, both in basketball as well as soccer and
they're really
softball.
Good. It adds such great depth. Such great depth to the league.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what we're going to do when we lose a Georgia school in the SSAC. We were talking earlier.
Pick up a Georgia school.
Right. So that's exactly what the SSAC chose to do whenever Stillman made their exit. Now we get to welcome in Abraham Baldwin Agricultural College. Do you know where that is?
It is actually, I looked it up, it looks like it's about an hour and a half northeast of Tallahassee, maybe an hour and 45 minutes northeast of Tallahassee. I looked that up today, figuring that, Lord willing, I'll get a chance to go there in 25-26.
Yeah, so Tifton, Georgia, they are the Golden Stallions. They're green and gold. It's just a little bit north of where Thomas is.
So not the Rebels, not the Bulldogs. Golden Stallions.
Golden Stallions.
I like it. We got a lot of unique mascots in the Southern States Athletic Conference.
Abraham Baldwin Agricultural College. When Commissioner Mike Hall was asked, what are you going to do to fill the void now that Stillman is leaving? And Mike Hall said that he was taken aback. ABAC. Abraham Baldwin Agricultural College.
Taken aback. Now, did he say that or did you set that one up?
I completely made that up.
Okay. Very nice.
Oh, sorry. Wow. That's my one dry humor joke of the day.
Hey, you know, but
thank you. That's the honest reaction.
You know what? We did it, Kerry, though. We lose Stillman. So, yes, we say the league picks up a team out of Georgia. What do? We go pick Talladega back up. We're just going to do home and home with Talladega.
That's true.
Out of Tuscaloosa. So that area, Talladega, being in the general vicinity of central Alabama. But, yeah, I mean, that's what we do. We try to still geographically, who can we get that's super competitive that's right in that area?
Well, it's really interesting now. This conference features, I believe it is 7 full-time members from the state of Georgia, as it stands currently, and 6 from outside of Georgia. You have, let's see if we can rattle them off real quick because we only have about a minute or so left. Dalton State, that's the one that we often forget about because they don't always play the women's state. Oh, my goodness. All right. Thomas, Abraham Baldwin, Point, Life, Middle Georgia State, and Bruton Parker. There's 7.
Very nice.
So the teams outside of the – and we're going to have the Jeopardy theme music. But anyway, the ones outside, we only have 2 teams from Mississippi, Blue Mountain and William Carey, 1 team from Tennessee, that's UT Southern. I didn't even know we had that in the bank. Not surprised. 2 teams from Alabama, Faulkner and Mobile, and then 1 team from Louisiana in Loyola. That's it. You have 6 out of Georgia teams and 7 within. I said that they need to rename the conference the AGAC, the Almost Georgia Athletic Conference.
I like it.
It's almost true.
That was better than your last one.
Yeah.
Wow. What started so promising for you tonight?
I know. It can't all be so sunshine close. And rainbows and classic one-liners. But, hey, we've got fun athletics just around the bend, and that'll be a lot more exciting to talk about than my jokes.
Hey, congratulations to Tom and the gals.
Yes.
GCPL Championship back-to-back. They pick up a 2-1 win over Pensacola.
And we're talking to him next week all about that. So stay tuned for that on our next episode of Crusader Talk. For our entire crew, our thanks to Hannah McBrister for joining us on the phone, for Coach Barry Farrell joining us in studio, for our bunch that are always behind the mics, Will Tony, Josh West, and myself, Caleb Hamill. Until next time, good night, God bless, and go Saders.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.